Welcome to the podcast service of Sydney's FM 103.2, available on the web at fm1032.com.au.
Gary Chapman is a writer, a minister, an internationally respected marriage and family expert with 30 years counselling experience, and he is the author of that phenomenally popular The Five Love Languages book. And it's great to have you on Open House, Gary. Welcome.
Well, it's great to be with you. Thank you very much.
Boy, the Love Languages books, haven't they gone on to such success and spawned an array of siblings? I mean, there's the Five Love Languages, then the Five Love Languages of Children, Five Love Languages of Teenagers, the Five Love Languages of Apology. I think you've got the Five Love Languages of Dogs and Other Household Pets coming out soon too.
That's coming next, okay? You know, really? It's been a phenomenal thing. That original book, the one I wrote for couples, The Five Love Languages, every year in the States, it sells more than it sold the year before.
Is that right?
And that's been going on now for 10 years. And really, it's been translated in 35 languages around the world. And in every language, it becomes the bestseller for the publisher. So it's been exciting to see how that book has helped so many couples learn how to love each other.
And Gary, how did you stumble on the concept that people communicate love in different ways? How did you find these five love languages?
It actually came out of my counseling. I've been doing marriage counseling now for over 30 years. And I realized I was hearing the same thing over and over and over in my office. People would say, you know, I just feel like my spouse doesn't love me. And the spouse would say, what do you mean don't love you? You know, and they would rattle off all the ways they were showing love. And the person would say, well, that's true. I mean, they do that. But, you know, and then they would tell me what they wanted. And so I actually sat down and went through about 12 years of my counseling notes and asked myself, when someone said they didn't feel loved by their spouse, what did they want? And they fell into five categories. And later I called them the five love languages.
Mm. Well, review those five love languages for us.
One of them is words of affirmation, using words to affirm another person. You know, you look nice in that outfit. I really appreciate what you did. Another one is acts of service, doing something for them. In a marriage, it is cooking a meal, it's washing dishes, it's, you know, whatever, just doing something that you know they would appreciate. And then there's gifts. It's universal to give gifts as an expression of love. And then there is quality time, giving the person your undivided attention, not watching television together. TV is off. You're looking at each other, talking, interacting, and then physical touch. We have long known the emotional power of physical touch. And the key, of course, is that everybody has a primary love language. Out of those five, one speaks more deeply than the other four. And if you don't speak their primary language, they may not feel loved, even though you are sincerely speaking some of the other languages. Mm.
And so the question then has to be asked, can you actually become proficient in other languages?
You know, I think you can, and that's the good news. We didn't grow up speaking all five, very likely. Most of us come to adulthood, and we're pretty good at one or two of these, but we don't speak all five. And you may marry someone and find out that, ooh, their love language is not something that comes very natural for you. But the good news is all of these can be learned. And so you start where you are, and you begin to learn to speak your spouse's language. And when you do, the emotional climate between the two of you is enhanced.
I think about regular languages, and learning somebody else's language can be quite a difficult thing. Learning somebody else's love language must also be difficult for some people. And I think particularly of, say, the person who grew up in a family that never expressed physical touch. Well, it's really going to be difficult for them to show love to their mate that way, isn't it?
Well, what they have to do is start and take what I call baby steps, small steps. You know, I remember a husband who said, you know, I didn't grow up in a touchy-feely family, and, you know, unless it's a sexual act, I just don't feel comfortable, you know. And so I just said, okay, that's fine. Let's start where you are, you know. Let's put one of your hands on the other hand. You know, can you feel you touching your hand, you know? And then let's imagine that you just walk up to your wife and you just touch her hand, just gently touch her hand and withdraw. He thought he could do that. So, you know, at dinner one night, he just reached over and touched her hand. And every time you touch, it's easier to touch the second time. And so bit by bit, he learned to become more comfortable expressing physical touch to his wife.
Mm. Well, this is Open House, and we're talking with our feature guest tonight, author Gary Chapman. Gary, you do marriage seminars all over the place. You've got a radio program in your country. You've notched up 30 years' experience in the counselling room. I'd love to know, what is the trickiest relationship question anybody has ever asked you? What's the one that really...
I don't know if I have an answer to that. You know,
Come on.
You tend to hear the same questions over and over again. I'll give you one of a spiritual nature, okay?
Okay.
I was teaching a seminar once, and I was encouraging the couples to learn how to pray together silently. Hold hands, close your eyes, pray silently, and then say amen out loud, you know? And I said, you know, I think anybody can do this. It's not traumatic, you know? Well, after the session, a lady walked up to me and said, I don't know how I can pray with my husband because I'm a witch. And he's a Christian. And she said, how can I pray when I don't believe in God? And I said, well, you know, what you could do is respect his beliefs. So you could hold his hand and let him pray silently. And in so doing, you would be respecting his belief in God, and you would be joining him in his prayer to God. Mm. And she said, I think I could do that. So, you know.
That came out of left field for you.
That's a very unique question. You're asking for unique questions. That was a unique one.
Well, that's a beauty.
We have to be where we are, you know. That's where she was. And hopefully, I would hope that she would come someday to have a personal relationship with God. But at least she can respect his beliefs.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, one of your books is called The Love Languages of God. Give us some examples of how God demonstrates the love languages to us. First question, I guess, would be, you assume that he actually speaks the five love languages you're talking about.
You know, this was one of the later books that I wrote in that series, and I wrote it because so many people said to me, you know, Gary, this works in our relationship with God, doesn't it? And I would say, tell me about it. And I would just listen to them as they would tell me about it. And I began to reflect on that question myself and began to search the scriptures, and it was very clear, plenty of evidence in the Bible, God speaks all five languages, clearly. For example, gifts. He's the great gift giver. You know, he gives the gift of eternal life, the gift of forgiveness, and you can go on from the first chapter in the Bible to the last. God's a great gift giver. Mm. Acts of service. I mean, look at the Old Testament when he delivered Israel, you know, out of Egypt. The greatest act of service was Christ's death on the cross. He did for us something we could not do for ourselves. Mm. And so you can go right through these. The whole Bible is words of affirmation, God telling us who we are and who he is and how much he loves us. And quality time, you know, any moment, day or night, that we stop and look in God's direction, God is willing to interact with us and give us his attention. So all the five languages are spoken by God. And you know what I found in my research? As I looked at church history and talked to contemporary Christians, many people came to God first and responded to him because he spoke their love language. For example, if physical touch is a person's love language, they will probably have a very dramatic conversion experience that will involve them physically. They will say such things as, you know, God touched me. I felt his hand on me. I mean, my body was shaking. I was crying, you know. And there are other people who feel, well, that's kind of emotional, you know. But for them, it was very real. And I see that as God speaking their language and telling them, I love you. And drawing them to himself.
Oh, that's fascinating. You know, to the Italian, God answers prayer in Italian. To the Brit,
yes.
He answers in English, and he does answer to us in different languages. It then is a nice concept to suggest that God would even speak our love language to get our attention as well. What about those people who struggle to feel God's love for them? I remember taking a call from a listener a few years back, and she said she knew about God in her head, but couldn't feel him in her heart. She knew about Jesus, she knew about the love of God, all in theory, but she struggled to feel any sense of God's love for her personally. How do you begin to counsel somebody like that?
Well, I think often people who have that response did not feel loved in human relationships. They grew up in homes where they didn't feel loved. Consequently, you talk about God as a father, and that doesn't bring any emotion to them because they didn't have warm emotions from their father. In fact, sometimes it brings negative emotions to them if they were abused by their father. So I think we have to start back on the human level and ask the question of those people, you know, let's talk about it. Let's talk about your childhood. Let's talk about your experience in human relationships. And that really, we sometimes have to start there before we can move to the supernatural. And if we can look back and understand why we didn't feel loved on the human level, then we can understand why we're not feeling God's love.
Is there a way we can separate human relationships from our relationship with God so that one doesn't color the other?
Well, I think we can, but let's face it, our experience of life, whether it's life on the human plane or our life with God, is colored by our experiences we have in our journey. Mm. And, of course, the good news is that whatever our journey, God meets us along the way where we are and begins to help us heal the past and to understand his love as we grow over time. And I think a person who didn't experience love on the human level and who comes to experience the love of God can, over time, begin to feel some emotion in that, you know, rather than it simply being an intellectual thing. And one of those ways is in the way we respond to God. You know, typically, once we become Christians, we respond to God. We return God's love based on our love language. So if acts of service is my language, I'm big into volunteering to work at the soup kitchen, to help people with their needs, because in my mind, that's the way you express love, is acts of service. So I volunteer to do those things. Whereas another person might experience God's love and reciprocate more by sitting quietly, reading the Bible for 30 minutes, talking to God, reflecting on the Word, like George Mueller, for example, would spend 3 hours just reflecting on the Word and talking to God. Someone else whose language was not quality time would find that almost unbelievable. You know, how can you spend that long, you know? So I think if we understand ourselves and what our love language is, it does interface with the way we love God.
Gary Chapman is our special guest on Open House tonight. Gary, how do you start to even work out what your love language is and what your spouse's is and what other people's are around you so you can begin to communicate effectively?
Well, you know, there's two or three ways you can do it. One is you ask yourself, you know, how do I most typically express love to other people? For example, if I'm always giving people encouraging words, then that may be my language. That is, I'm speaking what I would like to receive, which not always. Sometimes we're doing what our parents taught us to do. For example, a person may give gifts, and it's not because they want gifts. It's because they were taught to give gifts growing up. So they speak one language, but what they want is another. But that's a clue, how you express love to others. Another clue, and this is a bigger clue, what do you complain about most often, like in the marriage relationship? If you're complaining and saying, you know, we don't ever have any time together. You know, we're like two ships passing in the dark. You're complaining that you're not getting quality time. And your complaint reveals your heart. You know, often we get irritated when our spouse complains. But really, the spouse is giving us valuable information when they complain. And so you ask yourself, what do I complain about? And that likely will tell you what your language is.
Yeah, that's a great tip. And one more question about the whole issue of God and love languages as well. Could God's discipline be in some way an expression of his love? Is that a love language when God actually disciplines us in some kind of way?
I think God's discipline is evidence of God's love. In fact, you know, in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about God disciplining all of his children. And if you don't receive discipline, you don't belong to God. You know, on the human level, we discipline our own children, not the neighbor's children, usually. Mm-hmm. But we discipline because we love them. Now, here's what is interesting is that many times when God disciplines us, if he really needs to get our attention, he will use our primary love language, but in a negative way. For example, if gifts is our language and that's what makes us feel loved, God may take something from us that we value very much. Or if quality time is our love language and we just bask in God's presence when we sit down at the Word, if God needs to discipline us, he may give us a time in which God seems so distant from us. You know, people talk about the dark night of the soul, and sometimes that can be discipline because we've walked away from God and he's letting us experience what life is like without the conscious presence of God. So many times his discipline interfaces with our love language. And he's doing it because he loves us and wants to bring us back into warm fellowship with him.
That's the key, isn't it? Recognizing what God is doing through that disciplined time. It's not actually punishment. He's not being mean to us. He's actually, the whole goal is love.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we realize that, the question we ask is not why, God, but what are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to do in my life?
Well, it's been fascinating to talk to you. And Gary, I just wonder what that day is going to be like when you discover a sixth love language and you've got to rewrite all those books.
Well, you know what's interesting is through all these years, I kept thinking somebody's going to come up to me with a sixth, you know. But everything that people have mentioned to me falls into one of the five, you know, as a dialect of one of the five. Like some people have said to me, you know, the sixth language is chocolate.
I'm with that.
Well, chocolate could be a gift, you know, or chocolate could, if you work and make it, it could be an act of service. But somebody said shopping is a Well, if you go shopping with your spouse, it's quality time, you know. The two of you are doing something together, but the big issue is you're together. So I'm not dogmatic. Maybe someday there'll be a sixth, but at least it seems to me that these five are rather universal. It's been so encouraging to me, the number of people who say to me, you know, our marriage was just in a desperate straits. I mean, we were near divorce. Somebody gave us your book, The Five Love Languages, and it just opened our eyes, and we started speaking the right language to each other, and the whole climate of our marriage changed.
Yeah, well, it's certainly helping so many. Gary Chapman, fascinating to talk to you. Thanks for joining us on Open House.
It was great to be with you.
Yeah. You can find out more about Gary's writing, including The Five Love Languages, at garychapman.org. The Love Languages of God is also published through Moody Books.
We hope you enjoyed this FM 103.2 podcast. To listen to more great audio, visit fm1032.com.au.